What do scientists even do in their labs? My name is Simon. I'm a scientist, and I'm trying to increase the transparency of research on TikTok by showing you our tools, our techniques, our resources used specifically in biology research to help you combat science denial on the internet, and because everyone wants to look smart at cocktail parties. You may have seen this on TV or in movies. It's called gel electrophoresis, and it's very common in biochemistry, molecular biology, forensics, and paternity tests.
Who is your daddy?
I promise you, you will understand this. We're going to break down how it's run, what it's doing, and why would we do this. Now, this block is actually a gel. It's very soft, very fragile, kind of like Jell-O. Now, the gel squares can be bought from manufacturers and ordered to your lab, or you can very easily make them from a few different things. Here's a diagram that shows how you would make the gel. So you have your glass or hard plastic template, you would tape the end so you have a square, and then you add, in this case, agarose. It's a powder that comes from seaweed. You add it to water and dissolve it, heat it up so it's hot, and then you pour it into your template. Before it cools, before it firms up into the gel consistency, you add a comb. Now, the combed teeth only go partway into the gel, and when the gel firms up and hardens, you remove the comb, and that leaves an indentation, the sample well. And here's what you would have. You have your hard plastic template with the finished firmed up gel with the comb removed, and you can see the indentations, the sample wells that comb left. You would then place your tray with the gel inside of a larger container seen here. On both ends, you can see that the chamber is deeper, and you would pour in a fluid called a buffer. So you can kind of see that light blue color filling one side of the chamber, and you fill the chamber with enough buffer so that it just slightly covers your gel as well and fills the other end. So you have your fluid, your buffer, inside the chamber as well, with just enough to cover your gel. Built into the chamber and touching in contact with the buffer that you put in, on one end near the wells is a negative electrode, and on the other end of the chamber in contact with the buffer is a positive electrode, and both of those wires go to the power supply, where you have your controls for like timing and current, all that sort of stuff. Here's what it would look like in real life. Now, both the gel and the fluid buffer are transparent, so you can't really see it, but here's the setup. You have the chamber, the gel, the fluid in there, and you see the electrodes on either end connected to the power supply. And now you would load your wells. You would use this tool called a pipette to dispense very, very precise small volumes. You insert the tip of the pipette, just the tip, down into the wells, and you load either like DNA, RNA, or proteins. Now, normally those samples that you're loading would be clear, but you can add things like stains or dyes so that you can see them. Or you can add the color at the very end by staining the entire gel. So we know how it's set up, we know how it's run, but why does it work? What is it doing? You're probably used to seeing DNA represented like this, like a ladder with rungs in the middle and twisted up into a double helix. But if you really zoom in to the molecular level, the sides of the ladder have these groups of atoms that have a slight negative charge. And so DNA is a molecule that has a slight negative charge. Now, what we can do is we can use proteins or enzymes to chop up DNA into different fragments. Some of those fragments will be longer portions of the ladder, some of them will be shorter, but they will all have a negative charge because of these groups of atoms along the sides. So I hope it's coming together. That means that the negatively charged DNA samples in your wells, once this is all turned on, will be pulled towards the positive electrode at the other end of the chamber. Remember, the buffer is in contact with both electrodes and covering the gel. So the samples in the wells will be pulled through the gel in their lanes towards the positive electrode. Smaller DNA fragments will have an easier time traveling through the porous structure of the gel. So if we were to run this for 15 minutes, smaller fragments of DNA will have migrated towards the bottom of the well. Larger DNA fragments will lag behind, and you'll see them towards the top of the gel. And that's how you get that separation of bands in the gel. And that's what you see here, the DNA fragments moving through the gel towards the positive electrode. The smaller bands, the smaller DNA fragments, move through the gel faster than the larger ones that are left behind near the top. And that separation of DNA fragments by size is an effect that is so reliable, we can use this. It's called a DNA ladder. You can purchase this for your lab, and what it is in this vial is a mixture of DNA fragments of known size. And so you load it into one of your wells on the gel, and when it runs, you can see the different bands, and it tells you how big those DNA fragments are. And this is what that would look like in real life. You have your DNA ladder running in the first well of your gel. Remember, the smaller fragments flow through quicker, so they're towards the end. So you have the smaller base pair chain lower than the longer base pair chain. And you can use that to establish the approximate size of any other DNA fragments in the other wells. In this case, it's between the 700 and the 1000 base pair reference fragments in the ladder. So you know that it's somewhere between those sizes in the other wells. Those stains that I mentioned before, you can add them to your gel and it will cause the bands to fluoresce under UV light. And so you can put it in a dark box, shine a UV light on it, and take a picture. And that's what this is. So now you know a very common laboratory technique used in science. So why would we do this? Well, in a lot of genetic experiments, we want to confirm that we successfully added DNA or subtracted it to something like a bacteria or mouse model. And a gel electrophoresis is one way that you can confirm that you did successfully add DNA and it's running higher in your gel, or you subtracted DNA and it's moving through that gel faster. Now, there are more advanced techniques that we can use now. But gel electrophoresis is a method to establish paternity because a child's DNA is a mixture of the mom and the dad. If you take their DNA, slice it up using the same enzymes, and run it on a gel, you can see the similarities between the child and the father here in different portions, as well as the child and the mother in others. So you can quickly see which one of these males is the father of the child. Of course, you can confirm with, you know, direct sequencing as well. Another application is forensics. If you find DNA at a crime scene, you can digest it with different enzymes, run it on a gel, and compare it to different suspects. Here you can see the similarities between what was found at a crime scene and the suspects. So now you know about gel electrophoresis. You're basically a scientist now. And if you stuck around this long, you probably really enjoy learning about science. So give a like and a follow. And share this with all the other curious people in your life.